In the light of hadith, 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 in the light of hadith.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله we are again in our beautiful silsila in the light of hadith. Today, we'll discuss the beautiful saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam regarding bay'ah. The hadith has been narrated from Hadrat Ubadah bin Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The text of this narration is, An Ubadah bin Samit, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa hawlahu asabatum min ashabihi. بايعوني على ألا تشركوا بالله شيئا ولا تسرقوا ولا تزنوا ولا تقتلوا أولادكم ولا تأتوا بهتانا تفترونه بين أيديكم وأرجلكم ولا تعصوا في معروف فمن وفى منكم فأجره على الله ومن أصاب من ذلك شيئا فعوقب به في الدنيا فهو كفارة له ومن أصاب من ذلك شيئا ثم ستره الله عليه في الدنيا فهو إلى الله إن شاء عفا عنه وإن شاء عاقبه فبايعناه على ذلك. Narrated Ubadah bin As-Samit رضي الله عنه. Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, while a group of his companions were around him, give me the bay'ah pledge for not to associate anything with Allah in worship, not to steal, not to fornicate, commit illegal sexual intercourse, not to kill your children, not to utter slander intentionally forging falsehood, not to accuse an innocent person and to spread such an accusation among people, not to be disobedient in lawful matters. The Prophet added, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever amongst you fulfills his pledge will be rewarded by Allah, and whoever indulges in any one of these sins and gets the punishment in this world, that punishment will be an expiation for that sin. And if one indulges in any of them and Allah conceals his sin, it is up to him to forgive or punish him in the hereafter. Ubadah bin As-Samit radiyallahu anhu added, so we made the bay'ah for these. That is the text of hadith. The subject which has been mentioned in this hadith is obvious. That is about bay'ah. Bay'ah is a particular, a specific kind of covenant and promise, you can say. Then those things upon that, this pledge, this bay'ah has been made. So two matters have been mentioned. First about bay'ah and those matters which have been mentioned in that bay'ah. And the second, the person who fulfills this covenant, Almighty Allah will reward him on the day of judgment. And if someone commits any sin of them and he is punished because of that, that punishment would be expiation for him on the day of judgment. And if his sin is concealed by Allah and he didn't get any punishment on that, then his matter is in the hand of Allah. That's up to Allah. Now it's upon Allah whether He punishes him or forgives him on the day of judgment. Now first, I'll mention the second matter which needs a brief explanation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the person who commits any sin of them, as he accused other person, or he fornicates, ma'adallah, or he steals something, and then he is punished on that. That would be expiation for him. And if he is not punished, then his matter is in the hand of Allah. Now the question that really, if a person is punished because of any of these sins, then that punishment would be expiation for him. So when we read any ayah or hadith, we are in the need of reading other ahadith and ayat as well, so that we can come to the proper result and we can conclude the proper result. So according to the verses of Quran and hadith, it appears that only punishment is not sufficient for a person on the day of judgment. Tawbah, repentance is also needed. If someone is punished and he repents from his sin as well, then that expiation and repentance would be sufficient and expiation for him on the day of judgment, otherwise not. Now the question, as in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explicitly and very, very obviously have mentioned that punishment would be expiation for him. So how can we say that just punishment is not enough for expiation? So what can we say? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned a punishment in the Holy Quran regarding a particular sin, regarding a particular crime. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions punishment for those people on the day of judgment as well. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned about Hiraba, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, إِنَّمَا جَزَاءُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَسْعَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا. Indeed, the penalty for those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive corruption is none but that they be killed and crucified, and then they would be exiled from their homeland. So that is punishment for them, for those people who يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, who make war against Allah and His Messenger. Now first Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the punishment in this world. أَن يُقَتَّلُوا أَوْ يُصَلَّبُوا أَوْ تَقَطَّعَ عَيْدِهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ أَوْ يُنْفَوْا مِنْ الْأَرْضِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned these punishments for those people, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning ذَلِكَ لَهُمْ خِزْيٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. That is for them a disgrace and humiliation in this world. That punishment, أَن يُقَتَّلُوا أَوْ يُصَلَّبُوا أَوْ تُقَطَّعَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ أَوْ يُنْفَوْا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, either of them is punishment for them. And what is that? That is humiliation and disgrace for them in this world. And what about Akhirah? So then Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And for them in the hereafter, there is severe punishment. So now after they have been punished in this world, according to this ayah, they would be punished on the day of judgment as well, and there is severe punishment for them on the day of judgment. So what does that mean? It means these people are being punished in this world, but even then, they would be punished on the day of judgment as well, except they repent of their sins. So this ayah shows that just only being punished in this world is not enough and sufficient for their expiation. Repentance is also needed there. So that's why, in the light of this ayah, our scholars have said that if a person is punished and then he repents from his sin as well, then that punishment would be expiation for him on the day of judgment, otherwise not. Now the second matter is about bay'ah. Bay'ah is pledge, a particular kind of covenant between Shaykh and his murid. that bay'ah has been proven from Quran and Hadith. There are many ayat in the Holy Quran. There are many ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was a tradition, and that has been coming. That method of bay'ah had been coming, had been existing since the time of Salaf Salihin. It was common and it was the routine, it was tradition and custom among them to make bay'ah, to give bay'ah, to take bay'ah. That was their custom. Now I'll recite some verses of the Holy Quran in the favor of bay'ah, means that has been proven from Quran, and the bay'ah itself has been proven from Quran. Its proof is from Quran and Hadith. The first ayah is from Surah Al-Mumtahina, verse number 12. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, O Prophet, when believing women come to you to give you the bay'ah pledge, that they will not associate anything in worship with Allah, that they will not steal, that they will not commit illegal sexual intercourse, they will not kill their children, that they will not utter slander, intentionally forging falsehood, and that they will not disobey you in any ma'ruf, Islamic ordain. Then accept their bay'ah and ask Allah to forgive them. Verily, Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. This bay'ah was taken from women. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take bay'ah from believing women. When they come to you, so take bay'ah from them, and they should give bay'ah to you. And on which things that bay'ah would be made, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in this ayah, not to associate anyone with Allah in worship, not to steal, not to commit fornication, not to kill their children, and then not to accusing others, and not disobey in lawful matters. These were the matters upon that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took bay'ah from women. If we read the words of this ayah and the words of that hadith about which we are discussing, the words are same, the matters are same, the sins are same which have been mentioned in both. In hadith, the same words, Allah tushriku billahi shayya, wala tasriku, wala taznu, wala ta'tu bi buhtanin taftarunahu bayna aydikunna wa arjulikunna, and then wala ta'su fi ma'rufin. So the same things which have been mentioned in hadith, Allah Azza wa Jalla have mentioned in this ayah. It means Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this ayah about women. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took bay'ah from them according to this ayah, fulfilling the commandment of this ayah, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took bay'ah from sahaba ikram as well. As in hadith, there were the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a group of companions around the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took bay'ah from women as well as from men. Why? Because the commandment of Allah. So in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has clearly mentioned the word, they will give bay'ah to you, they will give pledge to you. So that is a kind of bay'ah on taqwa, because the things which have been mentioned here are about taqwa, not committing these sins, abstaining from these sins. What is that? That is taqwa, because the meaning of taqwa is abstaining from sins. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took bay'ah on taqwa. Then another ayah, and that ayah is in Surah Al-Fath and verse number 18. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. Indeed, Allah was pleased with the believers when they gave their bay'ah pledge to you, O beloved Prophet, under the tree. He knew, Allah knew what was in their hearts, and He sent down a sakina, calmness and tranquility, upon them, and He rewarded them with a near victory. So in this ayah again, the word is yubayi'unaka. This bay'ah is about the time of Hudaybiyah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam along with his sahaba kiram set for Makkah Mukarramah. So before Makkah Mukarramah, in the place of Hudaybiyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed that the people of Makkah, the infidels of Makkah, they are not ready for giving the permission to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to conduct Umrah. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed at that place. And when he was informed, the people of Makkah, they are preparing for war against Muslims. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took this bay'ah from Sahaba ikram. Those Sahaba ikram were 1,400 Sahaba ikram are there, and they make bay'ah on the hand of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam under a tree. And that bay'ah had been mentioned in this verse, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ, when they were making bay'ah on your hand under a tree. So this bay'ah was on striving hard in the path of Allah. That was on jihad. Then same bay'ah had been mentioned in other ayah of Surah Al-Fath. That ayah is ayah, verse number 10. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ فَمَنْ نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِمَا عَاهَدَ عَلَيْهُ اللَّهُ فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Verily, those who give bay'ah to you, O beloved Prophet, they are giving bay'ah to Allah. The hand of Allah is over their hands. So those people who are giving bay'ah to you, O beloved Prophet, they are giving bay'ah to Allah, because you are the Prophet of Allah. And when they are making bay'ah on your hand, they are making bay'ah on the hand of Allah. Yadullahi fawqa aydihim, because then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking bay'ah from them. So the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was over the hands of Sahaba ikram. And Allah azza wa jal is describing that particular scene with the words, Yadullahi fawqa aydihim, the hand of Allah is over their hands. So the word bay'ah is again mentioned in this ayah. So bay'ah had been proven from Quran. There are many kinds of bay'ah. As in hadith, what we are discussing about, and in the first ayah, the bay'ah on taqwa, not committing shirk, not committing sins, that had been mentioned. Then in the campaign of Hudaybiyah, at the time of Hudaybiyah, that bay'ah was about jihad. Then other times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took bay'ah for other reasons. So bay'ah has many kinds. That is many kinds, as bay'ah on taqwa, bay'ah on jihad, bay'ah on Islam, bay'ah on not committing sins, bay'ah in submission to the ruler, the ruler in Islamic country. So there are many kinds of bay'ah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taken many kinds of bay'ah. And particularly in this hadith and the first ayah, the bay'ah is bay'ah of taqwa. The bay'ah is bay'ah of taqwa. Why? Because in hadith and in ayah, six things have been mentioned, and all are sins. All are sins. Allah tushriku billahi shayya, not associate, partner with Allah in worship. Wala tashriku, not steal. Wala tasnu, not fornicate, not accuse others. Wala ta'asu fi ma'rufin, and don't disobey the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in lawful matters. So what are these things? These were sins. And the Sahaba ikram were commanded to give bay'ah, not to commit these sins. And that is the meaning of taqwa, because the meaning of taqwa is abstaining from sins. When Sahaba ikram gave bay'ah or not committing these sins, it means they made bay'ah on taqwa. And that bay'ah of taqwa is the bay'ah which is being conducted nowadays on the hands of mashayikh. Because when we make bay'ah on the hand of a Shaykh Kamil, so what do we say and what do we promise? We promise that we won't commit sin, we won't fornicate, we won't backbite, we won't do this, we won't do that, we won't commit that sin. So we promise that we will never commit these kind of sins, and that is the meaning of taqwa, and that is bay'ah of taqwa, which is done on the hands of Awliya Kiram and Mashaykh Ulam and Shaykh Kamil. So that's the meaning of bay'ah. Then there are some goals and there are some purpose of making bay'ah. What are those? The main purpose of making bay'ah is getting the pleasure of Allah. And becoming a practicing Muslim, a perfect Muslim, and getting that particular state of ihsan, What is that state of ihsan? أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. You worship Allah as you are seeing Almighty Allah. You worship Allah as you are seeing Him. As it is, it has been mentioned in Hadith Jibrail and in Hadith Ihsan, and we have discussed that hadith in detail. Jibrail Amin alayhi salatu wasalam came and he asked, Ya Rasulullah, Mal Ihsan, Rasulullah Akhbini al Lisan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned, أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. You worship Allah as you are seeing Allah. As you are seeing Allah Azzawajal. So, attaining that state of ihsan is the main goal of bi'ah, is the main purpose of bi'ah. So, being practicing Muslim, being perfect Muslim, being and getting that particular state of ihsan and getting the pleasure of Allah through that bi'ah and through that practices, what we do during our procedure of iradat and bi'ah, so that is the main goal and that's the main purpose of bi'ah. Then, in other words, if we in detail this purpose, so we can say that Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us to strive hard in the path of Allah to get the pleasure of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who strive hard in our path, who strive hard in our path, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, and those who strive hard in our path, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, we will definitely guide them towards our path. Means who will do that mujahida? Who will do that mujahida? We will guide those people. Now what is that mujahida? Which has been mentioned in this ayah. So that mujahida is striving hard in the path of Allah to get the pleasure of Allah and to attain the closeness of Allah, the qurba of Allah, to attaining that is the main purpose of this mujahada. Now how can we attain that qurb and closeness and pleasure of Allah? The way had been mentioned by Salaf Salihin, by Awliya Kiram. And when that is specifically, when that is written in a particular science, so that is called tasawwuf, that is called suluk, that is called ihsan. Awliya Kiram, according to their experiences, so they wrote and they mentioned particular ways. What is the best way? What is the easiest way? And what is the good way to attain the pleasure of Allah and to attain that particular state of ihsan? So they mention some stations and stages. And most of Awliya Kiram, they have mentioned that there are 10 stages and there are 10 stations to get the pleasure of Allah, to attain the pleasure of Allah. What are those stations and stages? So they have mentioned the first state, the first station is the station of Tawbah, repentance. Repentance from sins. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Return to Allah, all of you. أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, O believers, so that you may attain success. You may attain falah. You may attain success. Return to Allah, all of you, O believers. That is the station of Tawbah. And that is the first one. Because after Tawbah, other things would start. First, we will repent of our sins and then we will go on the path of getting the pleasure of Allah. That is the first station. And the second is Zuhd. So, disinterest in the worldly wealth. And that has been mentioned in the Quran as well. And in Ahadith as well. And that has appeared and that appears from the beloved life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we study the biography, the seerah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we read this zuhd everywhere. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have any interest in worldly wealth. Whatever he attained, he spent in the path of Allah. He used to give others. That was the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was the sunnah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned regarding that, in order that you may not be sad over matters that you fail to get, not rejoice because of that which has been given to you. Mean your condition and your condition should be like that. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. If you couldn't get something, so you must not be very, very sad on that. You must not be very sad on that. If something has missed from you, so no matter, no problem for you. And if you have been given something, so do not rejoice over that. So that is the state of zuhd. Then the third one is sabr, showing patience. And that is obvious. How many ayat in the Holy Quran regarding patience? Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu sbiru wa sabiru. O believers, be patient, show patience. Then ya ayyuhal ladina amanu sta'inu bisabri wa salah. Seek the help of Allah, seek the support of Allah through patience and prayer. Innama yuwaffa sabiruna ajrahum bighairi hisab. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Wallahu ma'a sabirin. Wa bashiri sabirin. Give glad tidings to those people who show patience. So sabr and patience have been mentioned in Quran, and that is the third station of the destination of the pleasure of Almighty Allah. That's the third one. The fourth one is faqr. Faqr, being away from wealth and being needy in the court of Allah only. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara ila Allah. That is the verse of Quran. O mankind, it is you who stand in need of Allah. And Allah, wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. Almighty Allah is free from all needs, and he is worthy of all praise. So you are in the need of Allah, and we are in the need of Allah. We are fuqara in the court of Allah. We are needy in the court of Allah. That is the fourth station, a fourth stage of that destination of the tariqah. Then the fifth one is shukr, paying gratitude to Allah. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, washkuruli wala takfuru. Be grateful to me and never be ungrateful to me. That is the stage of gratitude, shukr. And the sixth one is khawf, fear of Allah. Wa khafuni in kuntum mu'mineen. And fear me if you are believers. If you are believer, Almighty Allah is stating, then fear me. It shows that fear of Allah is the demand, is the ultimate demand of belief and faith. When we have faith in Allah, when we believe in Allah, so then it demands us to have fear of Allah Azza wa Jal in our heart. That is khawf, and that is the sixth stage. The seventh is raja. Raja is hope. Keeping hope in Allah. Almighty Allah has mentioned, وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ. They hope for His mercy. They hope for His mercy. That is the seventh stage. The eighth stage is having trust in Allah. Putting trust in Allah. Keeping trust in Allah. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in many verses of the Quran, one of them I decide, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And put your trust in Allah if you are believers. Keep your trust in Allah if you are believers. So that keeping trust in Allah is the eighth stage of this path of suluk. Thus that path of tasawwuf. Then the ninth stage is love with Allah. Love with Allah. As Allah has mentioned in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. But those who believe love Allah more than anything else. But those who believe love Allah more than anything else. That is the ninth stage of the tasawwuf and tariqah. Then the tenth stage is pleasure of Allah. That is Ridwan and Raza. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, they seek bounties from Allah and His pleasure. They seek bounties from Allah and His pleasure. And then other ayah Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. But the greatest bliss is the good pleasure of Allah. These are the 10 stages of the path of tariqah and tasawwuf. So now, look at this whole speech. Whatever I have mentioned, that is from Quran. From the first till the end, till the 10th. Everything is from Quran. And what is mentioned in tasawwuf and tariqah, and what is mentioned and what is meant and what is intended in the path of bi'ah, all these things, why in tasawwuf, why in tariqah, why in bay'ah and irada, why between shaykh and murid? Other than that, why can't we attain all these without the system of shaykh and murid? We can attain. We can attain. That is our first. Making bay'ah on the hand of Shaykh Kamil is not first. That is not wajib. But that is a way, and that is a beneficial way, and that is a tried and tested and tried way of Salaf Salihin. Among Awliya Kiram, among the pious predecessors, that was a custom, that was a very common practice. They used to make bay'ah on the hand of Shaykh Kamil. Though they were able to read Quran and Hadith, and they were able to understand Quran and Hadith, and they can learn many things from Quran and Hadith very easily. A lot of things have been mentioned in the books, have been written in the books of Awliya Kiram, but even then, despite that, they would make bay'ah on the hands of Mashayikh-e Kamil. Why? Because a Shaykh-e Kamil can do that job in a good way. And in easy way, we can attain these kind of things. Taqwa and tazkiyah nafs. So we can attain these things easily. So that's why we make bay'ah on the hands of Awliya Kiram and Mashayikh-e Uzam. Because our peer, he keeps his look at us, at our heart, at our condition. When he feels any problem in our attributes, in our qualities, in our character, so he rectifies us. He tells us about our spiritual disease, what he is feeling in us. For example, if from our conduct and character, arrogance or jealousy or envy or something else appears, so he observes and he tells us the way to rectify ourselves. He tells us the way of getting rid of that. So that's why we make bay'ah on the hand of Mashayikh-e Kamilin. Then, what is the excellence of making bay'ah, of giving bay'ah to a Shaykh-e Kamil? So there are many excellences. The first thing, Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us to attain piety and tazkiyah nafs, purification of the heart, purification of the nafs. That is the commandment of Sharia. When we make bay'ah on the hand of a Shaykh, so why do we do that? Our purpose is to attain piety and tazkiyah. It means in this way, we are learning spirituality. We are learning the way of acting upon the commandment of Quran and Hadith and Sharia. So we are acting upon the commandment of Quran and Hadith regarding attaining piety through this way. Because there is not only one way or two ways and specified ways in Quran and Hadith. Almighty Allah has commanded us to attain piety and tazkiyah. Now, whatever is lawful way, we can choose for attaining that. We are allowed to choose that. And this is one of them. The system of iradat and ba'd is one of them. So through that, we attain piety and tazkiyah. The first excellence. The second excellence is getting the company of pious people. And that is the commandment of Quran and Hadith as well. As Allah Azza wa Jalla had mentioned in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O believers, fear from Allah, have piety. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, have piety. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and be with those who are truthful. Truthful are pious people. And we have been commanded to be with them, to stay with them, to be with them in beliefs, to be with them in good deeds, to be with them in piety, to be with them in tazkiyah nafs, and to sit in the company of those people as well, because that company is very effective. So when we make bay'ah on the hand of Shaykh-e Kamil, so mostly we sit in the company of that salih person as well, that virtuous person as well. And when we sit in the company of that person, so we get the blessings and the excellences of getting good company. Then there are some other ayat as well, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. Keep yourself patiently with those who call on their Lord morning and afternoon, seeking His pleasure. So, Mashayikh-e Kamili, so they are the people who seek the pleasure of Allah day and night. They call upon Allah Azza wa Jalla day and night, first seeking the pleasure of Allah, and Almighty Allah has commanded us to keep ourselves, to keep us with them. And we are fulfilling that commandment. We are acting upon that commandment of Quran. So that is the excellence of bay'ah. Now, there are some other matters which are very important to discuss. When we have come to know and we have realized the importance of make bay'ah, so now when we have to adopt a person as our sheikh, so what qualities should we observe in that person? So those, there are many qualities which are needed to be observed in that person on whose hand we are making bay'ah. Alayhi rahmatullah has mentioned four qualities. The first quality, that person must be sahihul aqidah person. His beliefs must be right and sound and according to Quran and Hadith and Sahaba and Sunnah. His beliefs should be in accordance with Sahaba and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the path of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That is called Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So that is the first condition. The beliefs of that Shaykh must be correct, must be right. If there is any error and corruption in the beliefs of that person, so that person is in the need of being rectified. He is in the need of making bay'ah on the hand of someone else. How can we adopt that person as our Shaykh? That's why belief matter is very important. Belief matter is very important. The second condition is that Shaykh should be a scholar. That person must be a scholar. Scholar means he must be aware of all the beliefs of Islam and Ahl Sunnah. Then he has the knowledge of the basics of Islam, the basic commandments of Islam regarding the daily life. Then if any matter occurs to him, he would be able to learn that masala from books. That person is able to be adopted as Shaykh for us. That is the second condition. The third condition, that person must be a virtuous person, a pious person. Because if he is fasiqe mu'lin, the open sinner, if he is fasiqe mu'lin, so then making bay'ah on the hand of that person is not allowed. That is the third condition. The fourth condition is this, that his spiritual chain would be connected with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the chain of mashayikh. Means he is the disciple of a shaykh kamil, that shaykh kamil is the disciple of other shaykh kamil, then every one of them has permission to make bay'ah, to take bay'ah from others. For example, if a person with the name of Zaid, he is a shaykh, he want to become shaykh, so he must have the permission from a shaykh kamil to take bay'ah from other people. And that kind of permission should be connected till the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that spiritual chain must be connected from this person with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his shuyukh. That is the fourth condition. So these are the fourth condition, and these are the main conditions. If these are not found, so then it is not allowed to make bay'ah and on the hands of any person. Then there are some other things as well. Those are, you can say, those are effective and beneficial for us if we are making bay'ah on the hand of someone. And if other things are found in that person, so those would be more effective for us. What are those? That Shaykh should be trained. He has got training from others. So he should be trained. And he should be able to train others. Then the signs of the love of world must not be apparent on that person, from the character of that person. Then in the company of that person, the people learn knowledge, the people learn, gain the love of hereafter, not the love of this world. The love of hereafter should be increased in the company of that person. Then the fondness upon akhirah should be developed in the company of that shaykh. Then the people get motivation in offering prayer, in observing fast, in recitation of Quran, in recitation of salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they get motivation from that shaykh for acting upon the commandment of Sharia. So that kind of mentality should be gained from that shaykh. So that shaykh is really effective and beneficial for his muridin. Then for getting the fares, the blessing of Shaykh. Some things are very effective, sitting in the company of that Shaykh, listening to the words of that Shaykh, then listening about the character and about the worships of that Shaykh and his love with Allah Azza wa Jal. Listening the stories of that Shaykh is very effective and is very beneficial. And then one thing is like a condition to give reverence to that Shaykh and to love with that Shaykh as well. So these are some conditions. So if we act upon these advices, so inshallah, then we can make da'a on the hand of a Shaykh Kamil, and then we can get blessing and faizan from that Shaykh as well. And alhamdulillah, at this time, alhamdulillah, our Shaykh Amir al-Sunnat, Amir al-Dawat Islami, Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Qadri, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, is one of Mashaykh Kamilin, the pious one, the pious, one of the most pious persons in this time. And alhamdulillah, through his face, a lot of people have rectified, and alhamdulillah, they have left their habits of sins, and alhamdulillah, they have become pious. So if we wanna become pious, so then I'll recommend you to make ba'ah on the hand of Amir al-Sunnat. May Allah give us tawfiq for acting upon the commandments of Sharia, and may Allah grant us the blessings of ba'ah on the hand of Shaykh Kamil. Ameen. Bichahin Nabi Rameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
In the light of hadith, in the light of hadith, in the light of hadith, in the light.